through to verse 18. Verse 16 through to verse 18, we'll briefly read these words again. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Dear congregation, it is the believer's privilege to be in union and communion with Christ. And through what he has done, there is that precious fellowship. He speaks to us. He leads the song. How he delights to dine with those that have faith in him. And that's what we see in Revelation 3, verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. There he comes, to the door of the heart, and there he waits, for he delights in fellowship, and he desires to be dined by his people. And as we think of this, he wants to hear our voice. In the Song of Solomon 2, verse 14, there we see this clear desire of the Lord, and then the exhortation. O my dove, thou art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs. Let me see thy countenance, let me hear thy voice, for sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. And there the Lord again, he comes, and he desires to hear. Let me hear thy voice. Now, that is amazing, isn't it? That he who is the Holy One wants to hear me. Let me hear thy voice. He's waiting, dear child of God, he's waiting every day for you to pray and for you to praise him. Let me hear thy voice, for sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. There we have it. We're accepted because we're clothed in his righteousness. We can come. We can approach him. We can approach the throne of grace. And we can pour out our hearts. And we can open our mouths in praise. Now here in these verses before us tonight, in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16 through to verse 18, we are reminded how often and in what situations we are to rejoice, we are to praise him, and we are to pray. Now the Apostle Paul, continuing on the theme of the coming of Christ, here in the fifth chapter proceeds to show that it will be sudden. Suddenly the Lord will come. Like a thief in the night, suddenly the thief comes. In light of the sudden return of the Lord, how we're to watch and we're to be sober. Come with me to verse 6. Therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. A spiritual watchfulness and a spiritual being sober. How important. How important it is that we watch and pray and that we think seriously. Yes, with that seriousness will come this godly joy, but let us be known for those who watch and are sober. Well, he gives this exhortation. Having done so, he then goes on to exhort the brethren of Thessalonica to respect their spiritual guides. Notice these words in verse 12. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labour among you, and are over you in the Lord, and admonish them, and to esteem them very highly in love for their works' sake. And how important this is today. There is that due respect for the spiritual guides. Sadly today, there is much gossip against the servants of Christ. People gather and they scheme. What shall we do? What shall we say against that minister or this minister? How important it is that there is that due respect for the spiritual guides. Well, having given this exhortation, he then gives various exhortations concerning certain duties. And we have some of them before us tonight in the verses we read. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. We could go on another time and consider those words. Quench not the Spirit, despise not prophesying, prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil. How important are those duties? And we're exhorted to consider and to follow. Well, tonight we'll confine our thoughts for a few moments to these verses before us, verses 16 through to verse 18. First of all, rejoice. Secondly, pray. And thirdly, give thanks. Rejoice, pray, and give thanks. How important these things are. The Lord wants to hear us. He wants to hear our prayers tonight, but also our further praises. And as we pray, and as we open our mouths in song, we're to do so with thanksgivings. As Paul makes plain in Philippians 4 and verse 6. Well, these are precious exhortations. May we be helped as we consider, and may we be helped in carrying out these things. Well, first of all then, rejoice evermore. Rejoice. The brethren of Thessalonica faced opposition. Many of them had a heavy burden. Yet in the midst of it all, there was still much cause for joy. And so there is. We may be opposed, and we at times may carry a heavy burden, and it weighs us down. But when we stop tonight and consider, even in the midst of such, there is still much cause for joy when we focus heavenward upon the Lord our God. Yes, at times one may have a heavy heart, and those who so suffer such at times can know that there is this hindrance. Yet the believer knows there is cause to rejoice in the Lord. And dear brothers and sisters in Christ, we do have heavy hearts. But we know tonight, don't we? In light of God's word, we know what we want to do. We do want to rejoice in Jesus. Rejoice evermore. Rejoice. Not a carnal rejoicing, but a spiritual, heaven-sent joy. And I want to make that plain. We need to focus on this. The greatest joy we will know is the heaven-sent joy. And in our lives, that's to be our concern, that we might know much of this joy. Not a carnal joy, not a sinful joy, but a spiritual, heaven-sent joy. Joy. In Psalm 4 verse 7, the psalmist says, Thou hast put gladness in my heart, more than in the time that their corn and their wine increased. Just think again of the harvest time. The harvest has been safely gathered in. The hard work is over of harvest. And now there's a time of joy and thanksgiving. And there's much joy. But oh, the psalmist says, Thou hast put gladness in my heart, more than in the time, a greater joy. Now the Holy Spirit is much involved. Now as you think of this, just come with me to verse 19. Quench not the Spirit. Now we consider that the Holy Spirit is working, cultivating and exciting the grace of joy. How important it is that we quench not the Spirit. And we need to sit down and consider these things, how we're to walk, how we're to so speak and think, so that we quench not the Spirit. How we need the Holy Spirit. We needed the Holy Spirit right at the beginning to put life within and implant faith that we were found believing. How we need the Holy Spirit every day. Oh, we pray, do we not, for the Spirit. In the Song of Solomon 4 verse 16, O come north wind and south wind, if there is the need, come and convict me, but then may there be also that comforting and that exciting influence to cause the fruits to flourish, that my beloved might come to his garden and eat the pleasant fruits Oh, Holy Spirit, come. Let's be honest before the Lord. Let's be honest before the Holy Spirit. Lord, if thou dost see me, come and rebuke me. That I might deal with sin, so that the pleasant fruits excited by thee might be ripening, and my beloved looks upon the garden of my soul, and is pleased, and takes, and is entertained by my love, by my faith, by my prayer, and by my song. Oh, how we need the Holy Spirit when we think of this joy. The Holy Spirit is much involved. Listen again to the Reverend John Brown of Haddington. He puts it like this, as we think of this joy, excited by the Holy Spirit. In Galatians 5, verse 22, we read, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. The Holy Spirit puts it within, and it is excited. Listen to the Puritan Thomas Watson. Worldly joys do put gladness into the face, but the Spirit of God puts gladness into the heart. Now, certain things can bring joy. But my concern is this, that I might be known for focusing on Jesus and rejoicing in view of him. I want people to know that I am happy and glad in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what I desire, isn't it? But oh, we pray, Lord, put this joy in my soul, even in a time of opposition, even when we're in the storm or the valley. The Holy Spirit works within. Now, sadly, at times we stray, and we need to pray for restoring of God's, of the joy of God's salvation. Psalm 51 verse 12, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Restore it. Can I just say this, just as a pastor at this moment? I know at times we can have a heavy heart, and we can be burdened, and one can be perplexed, and this can hinder our joy. But how long has it been since you've been at the feet of Jesus, rejoicing in his love? How long has it been since you've been rejoicing in Calvary's love? How long has it been? Perhaps you need to pray. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Restore that joy. Oh, excite the grace within. Here's the exhortation. Rejoice evermore, and we see it as our duty. We have here the word rejoice. Be glad, be delighted, joy. And as we think of this joy, we've already touched on it, but as we think of this joy, it's particularly in light of the Lord and what he has done. In Philippians 4 verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Sometimes you come to a situation and you're grieved. It may be that certain friends turn their back on you and you feel alone. Perhaps you feel alone tonight. Oh, let me tell you of a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He'll never leave you. He'll be there for you. He sympathizes. You look to him and you rejoice in your never failing friend who will never desert you. Rejoice in the Lord always. What a privilege it is, isn't it, to know Jesus Christ, to be in union and communion with him, and to have the blessing of rejoicing in Jesus. And you know, sometimes when things weigh on my mind, and sometimes I can be on my own, I find it a help just to think of my Saviour who loved me and gave himself for me. Just to close with Christ, just to be shut in with Christ and rejoice in him. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Now we consider our triune covenant God. Rejoice in the Father. Rejoice in the Son. And rejoice in the Holy Ghost. But particularly again, consider the Lord Jesus Christ. Rejoice in the Lord. You remember Mary, she rejoiced in Jesus her Saviour. Luke 1 verse 47, and Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Saviour. She thought of her Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, and she rejoiced. And this joy was in her soul, it was in her heart. She magnified the Lord, she was taken up with him. She had greater thoughts of Jesus, and she rejoiced in the Lord, her Saviour. Rejoice in him. It may have been a hard day. You may have had a heavy heart. You may have faced testing situations. Just pause now. Rejoice in Jesus. Rejoice that he came. That he came into this world. Rejoice that he kept the law perfectly for you. And yes, also rejoice that he is your substitute, was willing to stand in your place and suffer the penalty for the breach of the law. Rejoice in Calvary's love. Yes, we feel it at times, don't we? Because we know it was because of our sins that he was nailed to the tree. But what a Saviour who loved me and gave himself for me. What a Saviour who was so focused on me in those hours. Rejoice in Calvary's love. Rejoice that he accomplished redemption. What did he cry on the cross? It is finished. Oh, rejoice in that. I'm so thankful he cried those words. Because he's done it all. Never more to suffer and die. He rose victoriously. Oh, that's a comfort, isn't it? But it's a cause of great rejoicing. He's on the throne tonight. The King is on the throne. Our friend is in the court of heaven. And he dwells in our hearts in a spiritual way. Oh, think of him now. Just pause. Consider Jesus in heaven. He's making intercession for you. At times we're burdened. Oh, he ever liveth to make intercession. He's thinking of you, dear child of God, at this very moment. He so loves you. He wants to hear you. Will you open your mouth in praise and rejoice in him? Just rejoice he's there. You're not forgotten. He's making intercession for you now. Rejoice that there is pardon. That there is acceptance, that all your sins are forgiven. Bless the Lord, O my soul. You know, we have to stop at times, don't we? And we have to say to ourselves, bless the Lord. There's the forgiveness of sins. There's pardon. All your sins are forgiven. There's acceptance. There's fatherly forgiveness. How much I need fatherly forgiveness. I rejoice in it. What a father he is. There's no condemnation. Romans 8 verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Oh, rejoice in him. And rejoice that he is saving men and women, boys and girls. We thought of it there in Psalm 72. The blessings of the reign of Christ. Rejoice that he's building his church. Oh, we feel at times that the gates of hell are shaking and there's much against the church, but you rejoice that he is building his church. Rejoice that he is doing all things well. Be joyful in the Lord. We read those words earlier in Psalm 149 verse 2. Let Israel rejoice in him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Just think of King Jesus at this moment and rejoice in him. Rejoice, dear child of God. Dear members of Crosslands Chapel and friends, and all listening on tonight, rejoice in the beloved friend, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, just think of him. He's altogether lovely. Every aspect about Jesus is wonderful, isn't it? Just consider his love. What love. We read in Ephesians 3, verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge. Or just think of his love, it's underneath you. His love reaches down to your soul tonight, and he supports you in his love. He surrounds you in his love. You are protected. You go forward in life. You go forward in the love of Christ. Oh, rejoice in his love. Oh, rejoice, secondly, in his grace. Remember those words in Romans 16, verse 24. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. The grace, the favour. That benediction, that pronouncement of blessing for the people of God. There's grace. There's more grace for you tonight. I don't know what day the day has turned out for you as. But oh, take comfort tonight in the never failing grace. The never ceasing grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's more grace. His grace comes down like the sweet, refreshing rain upon our soul. Consider thirdly his compassion. What compassion? Remember the widow who lost her son, Luke 7, verse 12. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said unto her, weep not. What compassion? Dear child of God, he so feels for you. What compassion. He says to you, weep not. Oh, rejoice in his compassion this night. What mercy comes. The mercy of Christ to comfort your soul. He is moved. He's touched. Oh, rejoice in view of his compassion. How wonderful to have one who cares for me like none other. Who so cares for my soul, how he supports me. The trial may weigh you down, but what does he do? He lifts you up. And his hands are mightier than that trial that weighs you down. Oh, rejoice in him. What compassion. In light of chapter 4 and chapter 5 here, rejoice that he's coming again. Remember what Jesus said, I will come again. It's a cause for comfort, isn't it? Notice these words here, chapter 4, verse 18. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. You comfort yourself tonight. Talk to someone else in the room, maybe, or talk to the Lord. Know the comfort. Rejoice that he's coming again. But the Apostle Paul wrote in verse 16, rejoice evermore. Rejoice evermore. That one day I'm going to that place where I will rejoice forevermore without interruption. Yes, there's much sorrow here and our joys are interrupted. But one day there will be such stillness in the place of heaven. We like going down to the Isle of Purbeck, particularly to Swanage. We went there a couple of times this year. And both times we went, it was very hot. And very calm and still. And we sat by the water. It was lovely. It's like being in some Mediterranean place. It was lovely there. So calm. One day, dear child of God, your soul will be on the golden shore of heaven. And there will be such calmness there. And there will be such joy in your heart. You will bask in the presence of Jesus. I'm going to be happy forever. The sorrows we know here, one day they'll be over. And then we will be happy forever. But oh, to rejoice more and more here below. Rejoice evermore. Rejoice in those sad times. Rejoice in those difficult times. There is cause for rejoicing. Rejoice evermore. Can I just pause? Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, just thank the Lord tonight. It's going to be your wonderful privilege to be happy, to be glad throughout all eternity. Well, let's consider secondly and more briefly. Pray. Pray. rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing. Now just think of this, it follows on, doesn't it? If we're going to be rejoicing, we need to be praying. We need to think of the Lord. We need to come to the Lord. Well, just a few thoughts here as we think of this second duty, which is exalted here, pray without ceasing. Just a few thoughts. Keep up your quiet times, those set times you have for prayer. Remember there was a conspiracy against Daniel, and the writing was signed. What are we told in Daniel 6 verse 10? Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed, and gave thanks before his God, as he did aforetime. And you see there with Daniel, he kept up his quiet time, a time of private worship in his house. The trial, the threat did not distract him from prayer. Keep turning to God. Keep up your quiet times. On the bright days, but also on the cloudy days. On days of holiday, but also on days of work. Be in touch with God each day. What a blessing it is to pray. And we think earlier, the Lord says, let me hear thy voice. The King wants to hear you every day. You keep up those quiet times. Be in touch with God, those set times. But then little prayers we can offer in the daytime, just a little brief prayer. Maybe you're about to do something, and you just offer a little prayer, Lord, help me. Lord, give me strength. Now, we cannot be praying to God every moment, can we? However, between those set times of prayer, a few more moments in prayer would be good. A few more moments in prayer. Pray without ceasing. Keep praying on the Lord's days. Keep thinking about God. Do not let sin hinder prayer. Now we have busy lives, but let's make time for prayer. Keep praying. Keep pouring out your heart. Is there something upsetting you? Maybe you've had a message and you're wondering, what are people doing? What's their intention? I'm not sure if they're being honest with me. Keep up prayer. Keep pouring out your heart. Keep offering praise in your prayer. Pray without ceasing. Now, keeping up prayer shows to God that we value him each day. You remember Mary, she was at the feet of Jesus in the home. There she was, at his feet. She was there. She valued Jesus. You keep up prayer to show to the Lord that you value him. You value him as the greatest friend, the closest friend. You value him as your Redeemer, your Savior, your Shepherd. I love thee, Lord. I need thee. Keep up prayer. Secondly, pray without ceasing. Keep showing the dependence we have in him. Keep showing the dependence we have in him. We value him, but we depend on him. We know that we can't get through one day without him. Remember the psalmist in Psalm 25 verse 1. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. There he is. He's lifting up his soul. He's looking to the Lord in prayer. And he's showing his prayerful dependence. I lift up my soul. I need help. I'm leaning on thee. I'm coming to thee again in prayer. Because I need thee. I need thee, blessed Lord. Oh my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Psalm 25 verse 2. I need thee. I have those that oppose me. I need thee. Keep praying. Keep committing things unto the Lord. Pray without ceasing. And just a few practical things, just to try and open this up. having prayed, go off to work, to school, to college. Having prayed, go off to the doctors. Having prayed, go off to the job interview. It may be having prayed, you walk them down the aisle. Having prayed, so on and so forth. Pray without ceasing. The Lord wants to hear your voice. Do not let him have to bang hard on the door of your heart. I'll be honest with you, I'm thankful the Lord at times has banged hard. Aaron, I want to hear thee. But don't let him tonight have to bang hard on the door of your heart. Say to the Lord, Lord, here am I. I'm praying. I'm praising thee. And let me underline again. Pray without ceasing that you might rejoice in him often. Think of a couple. They spend time talking together. And as they talk together, as they share together, they will at times be found rejoicing. They share their sorrows, but also their joys. You who are couples listening online and here tonight, how is it with communing with each other? The wife may lean on her husband and talk to him and then rejoice with her arm through his arm. Oh, lean on the beloved, look to him, pour out your heart and rejoice. Pray without ceasing. Thirdly and finally, give thanks. Verse 18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now it's interesting, isn't it? For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It's God's will. It's what he has willed. You are blessed through Jesus Christ. And here is the will of God. It's what he wants you to be doing. That is giving thanks. Do not we want to obey him? We want to be obedient to his will, to what he has determined. Well, give thanks, express gratitude to the Lord as you pray and as you sing. Now, when we think of prayer, we're reminded of those words of the Apostle in Philippians 4, verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. In prayer it is important to think about God, isn't it? To think of how you've been blessed through him and what he continues to do. We need to think about God. Well, when we think about God, are we not found further than thanking God? We bring our petitions. How important that is. Well, as we bring our petitions, bring also your thanksgivings. Lord, help me today, we might pray in prayer. And then we say this, Lord, I thank thee that thou didst help me yesterday. I thank thee, Lord. Bring your petitions with thanksgivings, your thanksgivings to God. It may be, Heavenly Father, I trust thee in this trial, and I thank thee because thou hast made plain to me in thy word that thou would support me in this trial. But offer thanksgivings to the Lord. In Psalm 116, verse 17, we read, I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. You see there, prayer, thanksgiving, and praise. I will offer. I will bring a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Oh, trust him. Turn to him in prayer and bring your thanksgiving. Here it is, Lord. Here is the sacrifice of thanksgiving which I offer to thee, for thou art so good to me. When of old wrote, how good is the God we adore, our faithful and changeable friend, his love is as great as his power, and knows neither measure nor end. 'Tis Jesus the first and the last, whose spirit shall guide us safe home. We'll praise him for all of his past, and trust him for all that is to come. We'll trust him. We don't know what tomorrow will bring forth. but we're going to trust him. Storms will come, but we're going to trust him. We'll be opposed, mocked, gossiped against, but we're going to trust the Lord. In everything give thanks. Here's the exhortation in verse 18. In the dark and testing providences, when things are hard, when we know what it is to walk in the darkness of affliction, as we see in Isaiah 50 verse 10, give thanks then. Listen to Spurgeon. Although we may not always be healthy or prosperous, yet God is always good, and therefore there is always a sufficient argument for giving of thanks. There is, isn't there? Show your gratitude to the Lord tonight. Let's just open our hearts to him. Lord, thou dost see me, thou dost search me, thou dost know me. My heart is an open book to thee. See there, the thanks I bring. Show your gratitude for Jesus tonight. You think of those words in 2 Corinthians 9 verse 15. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. He is the Lord's Christ, as Simeon made plain in Luke chapter 2. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. I've received in my life a number of gifts. A number of the brethren here at Ipsley and others have been so kind to us over these last few weeks. Gifts have appeared. So kind. And we've been left speechless at times. And at times you are left speechless, aren't you? People are kind to you. A little gift is brought. But oh, then we turn to Jesus. The unspeakable gift. What can we say? What can we say in view of Jesus and his love and his mercy and his compassion? What can we say? What can we say in view of Calvary's love? It's the unspeakable gift. He's altogether lovely. Words fail us. And I can honestly tell you all tonight, I want to be more often in that place when words fail me in view of Jesus. By faith, I've received the unspeakable gift. Faith like Hans has through grace received. We have Christ. Oh, to hold him more dearly. I held him and would not let him go. Oh, to admire him. Oh, to be left more often. What can we say? Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. In closing, in heaven and in Emmanuel's land, the heavenly world forever, when heaven and earth will be one, we will rejoice evermore. We will be talking to Jesus, and we will give thanks. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, eternity is too short to give all the thanks that is due unto the Lord. Oh, what a happy eternity it will be. So happy we will be at the feet of Jesus. So glad in our hearts we shall be. And we'll be rendering thanks for all eternity. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. And give thanks. Consider Jesus. Rejoice in him. Pray. And may the Lord melt our hearts, that we give more thanks unto him, for his name's sake. Amen. Let us pray. O gracious God, we thank thee for the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the unspeakable gift. Through faith we have him. May we admire him. May we meditate upon him. And may we rejoice in thee more often, Lord Jesus. O gracious God, we come to thee. We're praying, Lord, now. And we're rejoicing in thee. And we give thee thanks at the end of this day. Thou hast blessed us so much. We say with the psalmist, what can we render unto thee for all thy benefits? We think of the daily benefits that come. Such a burden they are, we give thanks. Lord, we thank thee, we have all of eternity to come. We're going to be happy forever and ever. How wonderful is the gospel. Why such love to us, Lord? For any listening on who is a stranger to grave, is it please thee, subdue them by grace, bring them to thy feet. May they be convicted of their sin, but may they be found looking unto Jesus. May they see the necessity of being born again. May they see tonight that without Jesus their eternity will not be happy. It will be most miserable and sorrowful in that place called hell. Oh, for the work of the Spirit. May the Spirit blow. And Lord, blow across the garden of our soul this evening hour. Hear our prayers. Forgive us our sins. Bless the whole congregation and friends and all listening on. Draw near, we pray. Oh, for a little more of Jesus in the soul and in our churches. Lord, we pray. Hear us for Christ's sake. Amen. Our final praise is Psalm 116. Psalm 116, verses 15 through to verse 19. And the tune is Andrew. Psalm 116, verses 15 through to verse 19, and the tune is Andrew. We thought of these words earlier tonight, we're going to sing them now. Dear in God's sight is his saint's death, thy servant Lord am I, thy servant sure thine handmaid's son, my bands thou didst untie. Oh, what the Lord has done for us in the gospel, deliverance. But then subsequent times of deliverance, and then verse 17. Thank offerings I to thee will give, and on God's name will call. Psalm 116, verses 15 to 19, and the tune is Andrew. Of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.
Amen. Amen.